Welcome to another Economic Week in Review for September 11th through 15th, 2006, read to you by Jonathan Andrew Walter of Jawspeak.com, formerly EconTechBlog.com. The Consumer Price Index for August was released on Friday. This was the big news for the week, and it was good news. Consumer prices increased less than expected during August. Market watchers saw this as a potentially positive sign for those expecting further increases in the Federal Reserve's interest rate target. The week's other economic news was mixed. For the week, the S&P 500 index rose 1.7% to 1,320, and the yield of the 10-year U.S. Treasury note rose 3 basis points to 4.8%. The CPI, released monthly, is a widely followed indicator of inflation. This measures the average change over time in the prices paid by urban consumers for a fixed market basket of consumer goods and services. The core CPI excludes volatile food and energy prices, which account for roughly one quarter of the broad CPI and tend to fluctuate widely. Thus, only looking at the core, we provide a truer reflection of inflationary trends. The CPI stated that prices at the consumer level rose 0.2% in August, following a 0.4% gain in July. This smaller-than-expected increase was attributed primarily to moderating prices in two recently problematic areas, energy and housing, i.e., the cooling of energy prices to 0.3% in August from 2.9% in July. The core CPI, which excludes volatile food and energy prices, also rose 0.2%. This was the second consecutive increase of that magnitude following four straight months of going up 0.3%. The CPI is up 3.8% for the last year, and the core CPI is up by 2.8%, which is its largest 12-month gain in almost 5 years. The U.S. trade deficit in goods and services widened more than expected in July. The gap grew 5% to $68.0 billion, as imports rose 1% and exports fell 1.1%. This was the first drop in exports since February. Rising oil prices accounted for much of July's increase in the value of imports. Nearly $20.8 billion of crude oil entered the United States from other countries. This was a record level. The overall trade deficit was 17% higher than it was in July of 2005. For the first 7 months of 2006, the trade gap was $453.0 billion, ahead of the pace that led to last year's record $716.7 billion deficit. This report is meaningful as foreign trade is an important component of the aggregate economic activity, representing a significant portion of gross domestic product. Also, the level of exports is an indicator of the global competitiveness of U.S. industries. Let's look at retail sales. Following a sharp increase in July, analysts expected a retail sales to decrease slightly in August. However, the 0.2% gain proved a surprise, a pleasant surprise at that. Despite reports from automakers that suggested slumping sales, auto sales grew a solid 0.4% in the month, driven by the return of sales incentives. Sales of gasoline dropped 1% as prices at the pump fell sharply. Sales increased at general merchandise, sporting goods, music, hobby, and bookstores, as did sales at restaurants and healthcare stores. Overall, the sales relative to their August 2005 level were up 6.7%. As investors, keeping an eye on these numbers is useful because retail sales are a major component of consumer spending. This accounts for a substantial portion of the total consumer spending as well as the aggregate economic activity. Data on new claims for unemployment for the week ending September 9th, also released on Thursday, dropped to just 308,000. That was seasonally adjusted, and keep in mind that looking at one-week data isn't the best idea. It's better to take a look at the four-week average, which was down to 314,250, seasonally adjusted, which was a decrease of 1,500 from the previous week's revised average of 315,750. This is providing evidence that the labor market is not experiencing serious weaknesses. Another good sign. Business inventories rose 0.6% in July, in line with expectations. Total business sales rose 0.6%, led by a 1.5% increase in retail sales. Manufacturing sales were unchanged, and wholesalers saw a 0.4% gain. Retail inventories dipped on the strength of auto sales. The inventory-to-sales ratio was unchanged at 1.26 months. This report of business inventories, it's a dollar value of product inventories held by the manufacturers, wholesalers, as well as retailers. Included in the report is that inventory-to-sales ratio, which we saw just now, was unchanged at 1.26 months. This is a gauge of the number of months it would take to completely deplete all existing inventories at the current rate of sales, which this is important because it's an indicator of the near-term direction of production activity. And it was unchanged at the 1.26 months. August's industrial production numbers came out. They measure the changes in quantity of physical materials and items produced in the manufacturing, mining, and utilities industries. Industrial production fell 0.1% in August, contrary to expectations of a 0.2% increase. Although manufacturing output was unchanged, production in mining and utilities decreased somewhat. The drop in the top-line figure was the first since January. Closely tied with industrial production, capacity utilization showed a small decrease to 82.4%, although it remains above its 1972 through 2005 average. The capacity utilization rate reflects the percentage of available resources that producers use to generate output. Industrial production and capacity utilization are significant indicators of trends in the industrial sectors. Looking at the economic week coming up, the highlight of the coming week will be Wednesday's meeting of the Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee. There is much speculation about whether the policymakers will hold rates unchanged or once more resume their campaign of increasing target interest rates. On the heels of Friday's positive CPI report, next Tuesday's report on the Producer Price Index will be closely watched for evidence of inflationary pressures on the producer level. Other expected reports include a closer look at the new residential construction on Tuesday as well, and the Conference Board survey for leading economic indicators on Thursday. Thank you for listening. I always look forward to your feedback. Please send that to jaw@jawspeak.com or leave a post directly on the site. Also, I've linked to the references I've used to compile this report. Come again, and I'll see you next week.